Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today, you will hear stories from Ana Mateo, Christopher Jones Cruz, Mario Ritter, Anne Ball, and Brian Lynn. Here now is Ana Mateo.
The tobacco industry in India is fighting a new government rule for cigarette containers, or packages. The new rule requires cigarette makers to print large warnings that include images on cigarette packages. Those in the tobacco industry say the measure will hurt the business of more than 45 million farmers. They also say it will lead to an increase in the sale of illegal cigarettes. Health officials say tobacco causes about 1 million deaths a year in India. The government has ordered manufacturers to cover 85% of the front and back of cigarette packages with images, such as diseased lungs. The images are designed to discourage smoking. Current Indian law requires warnings on 40% of just the front of the packages. Earlier this week, India's Supreme Court ruled against a request to stop the new rule from going into effect. The government announced the new rule on April 1st. The court ordered tobacco companies to obey the new rule. However, the court also directed a lower court to hear more than 25 petitions from big tobacco companies. These petitions are in different courts and dispute the new guidelines. Representatives from the tobacco industry feel hopeful about the petitions in their fight over the rule. The Tobacco Institute of India represents large tobacco companies, such as ITC and Godfrey Phillips. The group placed large advertisements in newspapers the day after the court ruled. The advertisements note that the United States does not require such picture warnings. The ads also state that current warnings, such as the words "smoking kills," are enough to discourage people from smoking. The Institute says that the more severe warnings will lead to an increase in the sale of illegal cigarettes. These illegal cigarettes come from countries that do not have such severe rules about warning labels. Tens of thousands of tobacco sellers and farmers are also protesting the new rules. They say they are worried about the effects the new warnings will have on tobacco sales. Chengal Reddy is head of the Federation of Farmers Association in India. He told VOA that farmers are not opposed to reducing tobacco crops. However, Reddy says farmers need something else to plant.
You see, as a farmer, I am not in a position to do research and go into policy issues. It is the responsibility of the government. When they say the particular crop is bad, they should show me alternatives. That is their responsibility.
India is among the world's top tobacco producers. Tobacco plants grow well throughout several states in India. Farmers are threatening to increase their protests. Health advocates in India say they are happy with the ruling. They have long pushed for stronger warnings on packaging. Half of the population in India is under the age of 25, and many people cannot read. As a result, health advocates believe the images may work better than words of warning. India has taken many steps to discourage the use of tobacco. Last year, India raised taxes on tobacco products. And in April, the Indian capital, New Delhi, banned the sale of chewable tobacco. Chewable tobacco can cause mouth cancer. India has banned advertisements of tobacco products. It also banned smoking in public, although that law is not enforced. A World Health Organization study says tobacco-related diseases cost India about $22 billion in 2011. I'm Ana Mateo.
Low oil prices have reduced oil exploration and development activity around the world. Tens of thousands of workers have lost jobs with oil companies and in the oil service industry in recent months. So it was no surprise that attendance was down at the recent Offshore Technology Conference in Houston, Texas. The conference has been a meeting place for oil and gas industry representatives for the past 47 years. In other years, large crowds attended the event. A number of oil services companies were represented at the conference this month. That is because these businesses know that oil prices will one day rise, and their services will be needed. Milo Liu works for the Chinese company Huanghua Group. He told VOA that low prices have reduced oil exploration activity almost everywhere.
The only area that we still have something going on, that's probably Middle East. And everywhere else, it's pretty dead.
But he said it was important for his company to attend the conference this year.
You just have to show your face. You still got to let the people know that you're still here.
Service companies attending the conference offered things like large ships, exploration platforms, and small devices that measure oil flow through pipes. Richard Knott works for Lloyd's Register Energy, which has offices in London. He admits many companies have stopped looking for oil, but he says they will someday need his company's help.
Many of these projects that have been cancelled or deferred, they've not gone away. They've gone away for a rethink as to how we can do this more cheaply, how we can maybe do it quicker, how we can maybe do it more effectively.
Steve Kosh represented 3M Corporation at the Offshore Technology Conference. He demonstrated a safety system that helps workers escape from tall structures in a fire or building collapse.
Still have employees working for you. They're going to be out working at heights, and so you have to protect those workers. Now, obviously, we're trying to find solutions for the employers to try to find low-cost solutions to their needs.
In recent weeks, world oil prices have stopped their sharp drop. But most people at the conference said they are preparing for low prices through next year and beyond. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
A new report says medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, say medical errors cause more than 250,000 deaths every year. If the research is correct, it means deaths caused by doctors' errors are greater in number than deaths by respiratory disease. That number also is higher than the 150,000 deaths yearly reported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC keeps the official statistics about causes of death in the U.S. The Johns Hopkins researchers say the CDC's way of collecting data fails to classify medical errors separately on the death certificate. Dr. Martin McCary is a professor of surgery at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He is also an authority on health reform. He says there is no standardized method for collecting national statistics about such medical care problems. The CDC's methods for following medical error deaths were adopted in 1949, according to the researchers. They say the record-keeping needs to be changed to account for medical mistakes. Dr. McCary said, "At that time, it was under-recognized that diagnostic errors, medical mistakes, and the absence of safety nets could result in someone's death." He added, "Medical errors were unintentionally excluded from national health statistics for that reason." The researchers studied death rate data from 2000 to 2008. They then took information about hospitalization rates from 2013. Using that data, they determined that medical errors caused 251,000 deaths each year out of more than 35 million hospitalizations. This, researchers say, represents 9.5% of all deaths in the U.S. each year. In 2013, the CDC said heart disease was the leading cause of death in the U.S., followed by cancer and respiratory disease. Top-ranked causes of death as reported by the CDC inform our country's research funding and public health priorities, Dr. McCary said. Right now, cancer and heart disease get a ton of attention. But since medical errors don't appear on the list, the problem doesn't get the funding and attention it deserves, he said. The researchers warn that medical errors are not the same thing as the work of bad doctors. They say medical mistakes are the result of problems in medical systems and the coordination of care and insurance coverage. The study says its findings should help raise awareness about the problem and support research to prevent medical errors. I'm Mario Ritter.
The American Space Agency and private companies are developing vehicles to take humans into low Earth orbit and even farther into space. A space vehicle system called Crew Space Transportation is a part of the effort. Boeing, the aircraft manufacturer, says its CST-100 Starliner will start flying human crews to the International Space Station by the end of next year. The United States no longer uses its reusable space shuttle to send astronauts into space.
The last shuttle flight took place in 2011. Since then, the U.S. Space Agency has depended on Russian spacecraft to launch crews to the International Space Station. Astronauts are already training for commercial spacecraft missions in flight simulators. Vehicle designs and controls have changed since the early days of spaceflight. In the future, astronauts will fly with the help of computer screens that are sensitive to touch. Eric Bowe is an astronaut with NASA.
You know, it's like learning how to drive a car, except for now you're learning how to drive a spaceship.
The space agency is using a number of flight simulators. The machinery was developed to help astronauts understand the design of a spacecraft's cockpit. The agency, better known as NASA, is developing its own Orion spacecraft and a more powerful rocket called Space Launch System. In the future, NASA officials want to let private companies take the lead in low orbit flights. By doing so, they want the space agency to direct its attention to deep space flights, such as the first manned flight to Mars. I'm Ann Ball.
Solar power technology could help to reduce deaths caused by household pollution. Pollution trapped inside homes and other buildings kills more than 4 million people each year. Most of these deaths are in the developing world, mainly in Africa. Many people die as a result of breathing smoke or from cooking over wood or coal-powered stoves. One way to reduce the number of deaths is through cooking equipment powered by the sun. Crosby Menzies is a solar power expert with Sunfire Solutions, a South African company. He described his latest solar cooker called the Sol 4.
It's 4 square meters of mirrors, 6 to 8 meters in length. It's quite a large cooker. We're very pleased to have built the first one in South Africa.
Solar cookers work by reflecting light from the sun off large mirrors. The mirrors direct the light at a cooking pan. Then the light heats the pan with solar energy. At Sunfire's office in Johannesburg, reflected sunlight heated up a cooking pan. Within 2 minutes, the pan was hot enough to cook sausages and onions. Crosby Menzies said the solar cooker can boil water in just 4 minutes. That is as fast as cooking with natural gas or electricity. He said the cooker is also much friendlier than other models because people do not have to stand in the sun to use it. The Sol 4 lets users cook in partial sunlight as long as the mirrors are positioned in the sun. Menzies said Sunfire has sold hundreds of the solar cookers in South Africa. He said the company is exploring new projects in Mali, Ethiopia, and Uganda. He added that many people do not believe that solar cookers will work until they see the cooking results with their own eyes.
The technology really is viable. A lot of people still don't know that it works, and we're working as hard as we can to change that.
Menzies noted that people can prepare meals without having to collect firewood or spend money on coal. Such individuals would be less likely to develop breathing disorders from harmful smoke. Since the SOL 4 is so large, it is not the kind of model that you want to move around too often. It is best set up in a permanent place where large groups gather, like a school or home for older adults. At present, the cooker only works when the sun is shining. But engineers are working on a way to make it work without sunlight. Each cooker costs about $2,000, which is a large amount of money for most Africans. To solve that problem, Crosby Menzies has created a non-governmental organization called Solar Cookers for Africa. It plans to raise money through donations to provide poor people with solar cooking equipment. Menzies also is partnering with a Finnish company to give free help to communities wanting to build their own solar cookers. I'm Brian Lynn.
More than a million people around the world have told Frank Warren their deepest secrets. People have mailed him confessions, disappointments, and their hopes for the future. They do not tell Warren who they are. Warren shows his favorite postcards online and in exhibits, and he shares them with people in popular presentations.
Dear birth mother, I have great parents, I found love, I'm happy. I give decaf to customers who are rude to me. Everyone who knew me before 9/11 believes I'm dead.
10 years ago, Warren began what he thought would be a small social experiment.
I wanted to find out if people had secrets, and if they did, if they'd share them with me. So I printed up 3,000 self-addressed postcards with my home address on one side and a blank space for them to write down a secret, something they'd never told anyone before, and decorate the card with artwork and mail it to my home.
Many people wrote their secrets on the card and mailed them to him. Warren put some of them on his website and published some of them in books. Soon, people from Ireland, Japan, South Africa, the United Kingdom, Greenland, and Australia were writing their secrets on their own postcards and mailing them to him in different languages.
10 years later, I've received over 1 million, and they keep coming 6 days a week.
Warren reads and keeps every single postcard.
I believed that if I could create a safe, non-judgmental place where people could share these hidden fantasies and fears and hopes, desires, humiliations and funny stories, hidden acts of kindness, it could really be something special.
He calls his project Post Secret. More than 500,000 postcards from the project are shown at the Smithsonian National Postal Museum in Washington. Emily Murgia works at the museum.
People love this exhibit. We'll come in and it's just full of people who will stay here for hours even, going postcard to postcard, having these conversations one-on-one. People will smile at some, laugh. We see people crying. They find a piece of themselves inside these secrets.
I told him my deepest secret, and he still loves me. It seems like no matter what continent, no matter what language, the secrets are sharing the same fears, the same hopes, the same desires. And for me, it's a privilege that so many people, hundreds of thousands from around the world, have trusted me with their deepest and true secrets. Jail isn't anything like the movies. Inside this envelope is the ripped up remains of a suicide note I didn't use. I feel like the happiest person on earth now.
This is one of his favorites.
When people I love leave voicemails on my phone, I always save them in case they die tomorrow, and I have no other way of hearing their voice ever again.
I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
One in five of the world's plants is currently at risk of disappearing forever. That is what a report by the Royal Botanic Gardens in London says. The report is one of the first to try to describe all the plants known to science. It says scientists have so far identified 391,000 plants. And it says more than 80,000 of those are in danger of becoming extinct. The plants are endangered by growing populations and clearing land for agriculture and urban development. Steve Bachman is a researcher with the Royal Botanical Gardens.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in the world now, and that's growing. And we need the land. So basically the land, natural habitat is being converted so that we can have soya plantations, crops, livestock. And as a result, that's really causing species to lose their habitat.
Plants are also threatened by logging and climate change. Scientists say governments should do more to create protected areas. Kathy Willis is director of science at the Royal Botanic Gardens. She says scientists need to identify which areas are important to conserve or protect for their diversity. Willis also says scientists need to identify which areas should be developed. Even while some plants are disappearing, scientists are discovering others. Each year, scientists identify about 2,000 new plants. Last year, a specialist discovered a new plant in Brazil while viewing photographs posted on Facebook by a fan of flowers. The plant is a 1.5-meter insect-eating sundew. What are sundews? They are one type of carnivorous plant. In other words, they trap and eat insects for food. These kinds of insect-eating plants are very popular on the internet, but other plants do not get the same amount of attention. Scientists say a general lack of interest in plants creates problems. Botany, the study of plants, is just not one of the more popular subjects in school. Kathy Willis says people should study botany because plants are so important to humans.
It's very rarely taught as this is a really important discipline because plants underpin all of our aspects of our human well-being, from climate regulation through to food and fiber and fuels.
But collecting and recording data on plants is a very difficult job, so difficult that botanists find it almost impossible to document all the plants that are becoming extinct. I'm Ann Ball.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.